It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
One of my favorite stage musicals, and the film is even better, Fiddler on the Roof. Especially those priceless talks with God, Tevye, the lead character and patriarch, seeing his daughters one at a time fall in love with men who have not been arranged by a matchmaker. He talks to God, he talks to himself, he wonders if his traditions, which he sings about, the song Tradition, very famous, tries to see if he needs to conform better to the times. He goes back and forth in his mind on the rights and wrongs, broad his direction, and he'll say things like, "How can they marry without a matchmaker? On the other hand, did Adam and Eve have a matchmaker?" And then he looks up at God. "Oh, yes, they did. And it seems my daughter and Perchik have the same matchmaker." Well, my friends, for today's political commentary, I am going to borrow from the philosophical musings of Tevye. The Democratic Party is in disarray. They were creamed in the 2024 election. I mean, it was messy, losing the White House, losing Congress, losing in every swing state. And it's hard to know what they stand for. Heck, it's hard to know what they stand against. They claim to stand against insurrection and violence. But that's only when they're talking about January 6th. On the other hand, when talking about the Summer of Love in 2020 or the harassment of Jewish students at universities, it's not violence. They switch the titles and call the insurrection free speech. They claim no one is above the law. On the other hand, they keep trying to protect millions and millions of people who are in our country illegally. They claim that people in power, like the president, are especially not above the law. On the other hand, a judge who sneaks a defendant out of her courtroom to protect him from ICE, a defendant accused of domestic violence, well, she's a hero. And while we're on the subject of judges, they complain that Trump is not obeying the Supreme Court. On the other hand, they had no problem with Joe Biden ignoring the court's ruling, the ruling that he could not forgive college loans. They claim the president cannot deport people based on executive order. On the other hand, many of these people were allowed into our country by the executive order of Joe Biden. They claim to be for electric cars to save the environment. On the other hand, the environment doesn't seem to matter if they want to torch Tesla dealers because the head of Tesla works with Trump. They love to shout, "My body, my choice," when talking about abortion. On the other hand, what you do with your body is not up to you when they want you to take a vaccine or they want you to wear a mask. With all of these inconsistencies, it seems that Democrats just don't stand for anything anymore. On the other hand, they do stand for one thing, plain, clear, and simple: getting rid of Donald Trump. The issues no longer matter. On that, they agree. On the other hand, they can't seem to agree on the how to resist Trump. And in that vein, a civil war is breaking out amongst Democrats. AOC is threatening to primary Chuck Schumer and run for his Senate seat in 2026. This is because he broke with Democrats and voted with President Trump and the GOP. On the other hand, Schumer perhaps should be commended for reaching across the aisle for once and helping to avoid government shutdown. On the other hand, this one act of true public servitude does not erase Schumer's long public record of lying, threatening to impeach judges, threatening to pack the courts, threatening to end the filibuster if Democrats ever get back in power. On the other hand, I wish they would do away with the filibuster. It's stupid, and it keeps the majority party from fulfilling an election mandate from the people. On the other hand, if they do get rid of it, they need to get rid of it now while the Republicans are still in power. In any event, Schumer deserves to be primaried by AOC. On the other hand, let's be careful what we wish for. We may not like Schumer, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a blithering idiot. So incredibly stupid, she just might get elected by incredibly stupid people who see her charisma and charm alone and fail to notice that never, ever is her speaking ability accompanied by this long-forgotten art called facts. On the other hand, she is young, and compared to Schumer or Pelosi, whose age can only be established through the use of carbon-14, AOC comes across as a breath of fresh air to many. On the other hand, the idea that just because someone is younger, they are automatically correct is a faulty notion that assumes morals are transitory and there is no such thing as true right and wrong. On the other hand, there are many in the Democratic Party who say this is not about age. Instead, they hold to the idea that the older politicians simply are not far enough on the left, even though it's impossible for any of them to go farther to the left without falling off a cliff. When they're lobbying against the deportation of terrorist gang members and protecting men playing in women's sports, mandating the mutilation of children in the name of gender care, usurping the authority of the parents. When they're refusing to pass laws that only citizens can vote and claiming that riots are peaceful while the city is burned down. When they're making musicals celebrating a man who gunned down an insurance executive, all the while claiming with the other side of their mouth that they believe in the rule of law. Well, that's as left can be left, with very little of Western civilization left. On the other hand, far too many politicians could care less about Western civilization and instead care only for their own power and control. DNC Vice Chairman David Hogg has gone on record promising to duplicate strategy and primary every senator or congressperson who won't get with the times. On the other hand, DNC establishment does not like that. And as a defensive posture, they appear to be getting behind Kaylin Free, a Native American attorney whom Hogg defeated in the vice chair election. Free claims it was a quote-unquote fatally flawed election that violated the DNC charter and discriminated against three women of color candidates. In other words, how can the party of identity politics dare nominate another white guy? Are you catching on? David Hogg, who claims his party isn't radical enough, might get ousted because keeping white people in power is not sufficiently radical. Now, I don't like it when people play the race card, but maybe he deserves this. It serves as a strange kind of justice. The snakes are starting to eat each other. On the other hand, no, as Tevye might shout at the end of his philosophical discourse, no, there is no other hand. But this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by columnist Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob, thank you for having me once again, and it's my honor to be here. And sad to say, it just seems to be a trend with us. Every time I come on,
It's just nothing to talk about in the news. It's a slow news week. Always slow.
But I still managed to dredge up a few topics.
I imagine there were one or two things
difficult,
out there.
It was difficult, yes. So, yeah, the thing that's, and I'm going to...
Just avoid the royal family, because I could care less. Okay. I mean, it's sad that King Charles has cancer, but the ins and outs of the royal family, I just could care less.
I can say with great deal of sincerity, I am not prepared to talk about the royal family.
Good. Okay. Very good.
I'm just not. So if you're like me, and I think a lot of people are, it's really easy to focus on negative things. It's like my dad used to say this, like if you clean the floor upright and you do a good job cleaning the floor, but there's
a dog turd in the middle of it,
yeah, that's what you're going to notice, right?
Right.
And so we do have some turds in what is a beautiful floor and a beautiful thing that's been happening with the Trump administration. A lot of legal stuff going on, annoying judges, so forth and so on. But what I wanted to do here is just spend some time, and this is by no means a comprehensive list, but to go through some of the real positive things that have happened in the first 100 days. And each one of these is a topic that we probably do a whole show on. We'll get through as many as we can, but I think it'd be just interesting to sort of do a little retrospective on the last 100 days. So the big one, of course, the real obvious one is the border has been shut down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And guess what, Bob? It didn't require
it didn't take a bipartisan legislative package to get it done.
So
that was who took that seriously when they were saying that anyway?
Well, even some Republicans were buying into it. I mean, they're going along in the Senate.
We need comprehensive immigration reform. In other words, we're never going to shut down. That bill would not have shut down the border. It wouldn't even come close to
it. It wouldn't have done anything. What it would have done, it would legalize a whole bunch of illegal aliens.
Exactly.
Okay. So the border crossing is down by 94%, 96% from the Biden administration's peak. We've also seen Remain in Mexico reinstated, which was a tremendously, and it's interesting because before Trump got into office, the Mexican president was making a lot of noise about not working with the United States, but she has been working with the United States, and they have got their thing. And it was interesting that Tom Homan the other day got up and he did the conference, and he said something which I like, which I've always agreed with. They said, well, you know, is Trump going to get them to pay for the border? And he said, well, you know what? If you think about the fact they've sent tens of thousands of troops to the border.
They basically
are. And they've taken on all the costs, that, you know, from a money perspective, they really have paid for the wall.
Yeah.
I think that that's worth pointing out there. So, and he's already started construction on the border wall. It's filling those gaps. And by the way, where that wall was, and you had some effort to actually enforce it, it's been very, very effective. Now, if you just leave it alone and don't have anybody protecting it, yeah, by itself, but it is the foundation for good border security. If you call it a fence, good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah.
All right. So then we have the mass deportation of illegal alien criminals. Now, we've seen that tied up in the courts there, but it is happening, and they're renovated, and they've beefed up.
Can you comment a little bit on this idea of due process? Because I think they're conflating what a citizen is entitled to and what somebody who's not in our country legally is entitled. Now, I know if somebody's visiting our country legally and they're accused of a crime, they essentially have the same court rights that anybody else does. But for someone that's here illegally, isn't the only due process that they can try to prove that they're here legally? And if they can't prove that, that's their due process, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
they're making it sound like every single person they round up's got to go through a 3-year court trial, which means nobody will ever leave.
The problem with due process, and the problem is ever since the court started to talk about substantive due process, is that that allows the judges to decide what is a legitimate due process. So if the judge says, well, yeah, there's a process there, but it's not a legitimate due process, and judges have taken that power on themselves, they believe that they can define what a legitimate due process is.
So did you hear that Trump just declared declared the judges a national emergency. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they are. And so basically when they do that, they're making up their own law.
Well, they're taking our three-branch system and making it a one-branch system.
Yeah,
because no matter what the executive or legislation does, they think they can overturn it.
Yeah.
That was the farthest thing from our forefathers' minds.
So getting back to the difference between a citizen and a non-citizen, somebody here legally, I think the general consensus is that you don't want to be some kind of process that involved torture. We don't want that.
Or if they arrest somebody and say you're here illegally, that person should have a right to prove with some kind of documentation that he's here legally. But I don't understand any due process beyond that. And there's certainly nothing in our Constitution.
And that would be the original founder's intent of what due process is.
Right. The problem is our Constitution doesn't spell all of these things out, but it is implied. All the rights that are listed there are listed as rights of citizens. They use the word citizens. So by de facto, that says if you're not a citizen, these rights do not apply to you.
I agree. So Trump set up a deal with President Nayib Bukele in El Salvador, a $6 million deal to have all these violent criminals housed there. But it's very cheap, dirt cheap for this deal. And he's already gotten 200 of them out of the country. These are super high-end, the violent, the machete murderers, people like that. So they have been deporting people. They're going to continue to deport
people. Yeah, but Judge Nebuchadnezzar doesn't like that, Mike.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I still think that there's a possibility. We know that Judge Roberts is squirming right now on the Supreme Court. He's squirming because he's
being put.
Yeah,
and it's just 50-50. It's 50-50 what they're going to do. What if they rule with the lower judges? We're sunk as a country.
Well, I have hope that he won't. I think that the fact that one of the decisions was a 7-2 decision makes me think that it was more like, yes, we're showing that we're doing our due process. We're doing all our due diligence on this. So rather than just saying it was a lockstep, I hope that's the case, but we don't know.
I don't expect anything more than them siding with Trump on some of these cases and not siding with him on other ones that they can show that they're objective.
So we agree. That is probably the biggest
drawback. Yeah,
it's the biggest
because it is violating
right
the will of the people and it's overturning our election.
And that is the biggest frustration I think we've been seeing this whole process. Now, something that Trump has been trumpeting is the trillions of dollars in private sector investments that are flowing back to the country.
Oh, that part is wonderful.
$1.1 trillion in private sector. Trump secured $500 billion for an AI infrastructure project, SoftBank, Oracle, and OpenAI. $100 billion to semiconductors, $27 billion for manufacturing. So this is people looking at it saying, hey, and I think it's them also believing in Trump, but also they see that the country, the mood of the country has changed and that people are sick of things. And they believe that this maybe has more staying power than just one more four-year term with Trump. I hope that's what they're saying, because obviously, if you're talking about a $500 billion investment, you don't want Trump to go out of office and all of a sudden find the environment that you thought you're investing in to be destroyed. So they're showing some confidence that they really believe there's some staying power to what we're seeing with the movement, that it's there. It's not going to disappear when Trump goes out of office in 2028. Then, as of the end of last month, 143 executive orders. And maybe you've done this, but have you ever sat there and watched the executive order signing process with Trump?
I've seen a bunch of them. They were over several days. They're fun to watch.
And he periodically does them. He has the media there. They're wonderful.
Especially the one where he kicked men out of women's sports and he was surrounded by all these female athletes of all ages.
So, and the one thing is, when you listen to these orders, there was months and months where he had a very good public policy team scrutinizing and thinking about these orders. These aren't just somebody sat down, oh, what are we going to do tonight? These are well thought out, very, very substantial executive orders that fundamentally go after some problems at sometimes at the very basic fundamental level that you need to go after them. So very, very fantastic. And plus including those executive orders that pardoned the January 6th people. I mean, that was the one people were worried about because
there was
of
a lot
the
of pressure
fear.
On them, probably even from Republicans
to not do that. Yes, exactly. Yes, because those Republicans that had to undergo the life-threatening attack on the Capitol.
Are the rhinos going to let this big, beautiful tax bill get passed, Mike?
Well,
or are they going to do another circling firing squad?
I think that there's a couple issues there. The big issue is state and local tax, SALT taxes. And
right, because even if he cuts taxes from Social Security, the state could still charge taxes for Social Security.
What happened is that the last tax bill, they limited the deduction you could take for state and local taxes on your federal taxes. And that hurt people that live in high tax states like California, New York.
Right.
And people are saying, well, yeah, but we don't want to subsidize those states. It's not fair for me, for somebody who lives in a low tax state, state, all of a sudden I'm getting a bigger tax deduction.
That's true. And as somebody who lives in California, I have to say I don't care as much about that. I just want to see this thing get passed.
Well, and I think that's what we have to come down to, because in order to get the votes, they're going to have to give... They're going to have to give Congress people living in New York... They're going to have to give them somebody to go back to the constituents and say, look, I got this for you. You now can take a bigger tax deduction. You can take a bigger percentage of your state and local taxes off your federal. And I think that's going to have to happen. But I think it can be done. I think it can be done. I do believe it can happen. Okay, so then we have deregulation. White House cited a study that estimated that already $180 billion in savings in reducing regulation costs. So $2,100 per family of four in the United States. It's going to save customers $1,100 on air conditioners, $2,800 gas water heaters, $3,250 on gas stoves, $200 on washers, $140 on light bulbs. So anyway, it all adds up. So this deregulation stuff, businesses love it. It creates a much more positive business climate that definitely will counter any of the downsides of the tariffs. Now, people aren't focusing on what the deregulating is doing. And I believe ultimately the tariffs, it's going to take a little while for some of that stuff to kick into the tariffs to be positive, which is why I'm so glad that Trump did it right away, because you want to go through the pain. You want to go through the screeching and the crying and the sky is falling rhetoric to get to the other side before you get to the midterms. So you have to do it now. It was inevitable. If he had done one-tenth what he did on the tariffs, you would have heard almost the same levels of screeching and crying and probably the same reaction.
Well, if they did them closer to the midterms, the Republicans could run for cover, so it's better to get
it done. And that's the other thing. It's just pragmatically speaking, you have to do it there. He eliminated the EV mandates, those horrible, awful EV mandates.
Which is interesting for those who say that Elon Musk is running the country. I'm sure Elon Musk didn't agree with them.
No, he didn't. He actually has been very benefited from a lot of federal money coming into his company on this. So yes, it did not benefit him. By the way, just a little thing here is that when you're looking at these new cars with the big range and the really big batteries, studies have shown that those actually have more impact on global warming than a regular automobile.
Well, of course, because look at the ground we have to dig up to produce batteries.
All that.
And then you have to produce electricity to charge the batteries into.
And even if you get to the point where
you have to manufacture the motion that causes the electricity.
Right.
And that's done by coal and by oil and other means.
And then just even getting the rare earths and the minerals out of the ground that you put in the batteries.
Yeah, and then you have to pay for the equipment to do it.
But interestingly, what is actually a very good deal is a hybrid car with a relatively small battery.
Yeah, now, my son has one of those.
Those are really good for the environment.
I think those, yeah.
That's the optimal.
That's the way to go. And then you can go much longer.
But if you get a good gasoline-powered car and it gets you 40 miles a gallon, that's still very good too. So something just happened in the last few days, which is an accomplishment. It kind of makes me laugh. They finally got that Ukraine minerals deal signed.
Yes. Now, the Russians still haven't signed a peace treaty, but...
Well, they haven't signed it.
But that Ukrainian was key, because now the Russians know that anything they do to Ukraine, they're going against the better interests of the United States.
It's a very smart move on Trump's part. It's a not so indirect security assurance. Nobody wants to give flat-out security assurances. You know, my country's going to be involved with the war with the Russians.
Well, he's given them an assurance, and he's helping to pay for all the money we've thrown their way at the same time. Well, he's killing two birds with one stone.
And it does appear now that the details have not been released by the United States yet, but the Ukrainians have been talking about it. And if you believe what the Ukrainians are saying, it actually looked that Zelensky walking away from that disastrous White House meeting, that he actually did come back and get a little better deal from Donald Trump. He did. So he used the art of the deal to get a little better deal from Donald Trump.
There's some irony there.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But it's going to set up a fund for reconstruction. And this is not something that Russia wanted to happen. Now, speaking a little bit about the whole Russia thing, this idea of the 30-day peace agreement, Russia's never going to agree to that because Ukraine is getting hammered. Ukraine is losing. They're losing ground faster and faster and faster. So, of course, Ukraine is all about a 30-day ceasefire because that gives them the chance to refresh their troops.
Because once Russia signs something, they want to have made up as much ground as they could.
Well, so that I'm talking about even a ceasefire to start the negotiations.
Right.
So that's not negotiations. That's simply, hey, we just want a 30-day ceasefire.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Russia probably wants to take as much territory as they can before finally signing a peace deal, right?
Well, the longer this goes, the more beneficial every single day Ukraine is losing territory,
right,
and Russia is losing men to get that territory.
Yeah,
Putin can't just sit there and say, oh yeah, the territory that we lost, over 100,000 men killed in action, we're just going to give it away. He can't survive that. He's had to run this war, and he does have to care about public opinion in Russia. Otherwise,
right,
he's out.
Okay, hold with me, Reich. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Thank you.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books, like certain movies, where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, "I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down." Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, over the break, your producer did mention something, and I feel quite chagrined. I forgot the most important thing that Donald Trump has done, which is eliminating the mandate to have paper straws.
And don't forget Gulf of America.
Yeah. That one, I have to be honest.
I'm
that
waiting
one,
for
I
a judge to say that was unconstitutional. Should rule that judges' rulings are unconstitutional.
I actually looked at the miles of coastline, and it's actually, there's more non-U.S. miles of coastline for the Gulf of Mexico than there is.
I really don't care, but I love that, and I love McKinley. I'm just waiting for a Supreme Court rules that constitution is unconstitutional. That's what I'm waiting
100%
for.
100% with you on McKinley. Yes. I'm also for going back to the original traditional names of the Army bases and things of that nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all for that there. But the other thing, too, is the showerhead, you know, low-flow showerheads, which are just... You cannot get a satisfactory shower with those things, and I totally agree with President Trump.
Well, I've never had one of those. Apparently, we never made the switch.
Yes,
so
well, I've got
were
a
we supposed to by
one.
Law? Were we supposed to by law?
I think in California, for sure, you are.
Well, so, well, I guess I shouldn't have said anything over the air.
Another thing that he's done, which the White House has done, which has been very successful, they have challenged the media status quo, and they've expanded access for news, for new media and alternative media. And if you watch the White House press conferences, they have a chair where they bring in somebody that was traditionally not included in the White House press briefings, and they allow them to ask the first question.
Oh, I've loved that. And I love Carolyn Leavitt. She's doing such a superb job. She's just having them all for lunch.
And they basically have said, the White House Correspondents Association, they said, no, you will not determine who's going to be on the plane with President Trump. President Trump will determine who's on the plane with President Trump and his staff.
Yeah.
And they've been freaking out about that.
Of course, we did have that order from a judge where they had to let the AP back in. Remember? The Associated Press.
Well, were they back on the plane?
No. The AP would not use the word Gulf of Mexico in their reporting.
Right.
So Trump said, fine, if you're going to give fake news, you're not allowed at our briefings. And a court ruled that they had to let them in, which I thought was pretty stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, I mean, that's one where I kind of go, I'm not quite as big on the Gulf of Mexico thing as some people are.
I agree with you, but it was none of the court's business. They are allowed to have anybody be in their briefing that they want. They don't have to give a briefing to anybody if they don't want. So what the heck business is it of the courts?
Yeah. Courts are always overreaching. And the thing that's interesting, too, is the new media and the non-legacy media has been losing market share. And with Trump coming back in office, if they were hoping it was going to come back, it has not. Basically, people are just fed up. So the legacy media, you know, CNN, ABC, NBC, that media is becoming
nobody's
less and
watching
less powerful.
Them. No.
I mean, there's still a lot of people watching, but
a kid
it's
doing
less powerful.
A podcast in his basement is getting more hits than they are.
Exactly. So really good news, and they've really reached out to help some of these new media and organizations that should have been included are being included. So kudos to the Trump administration.
Hey, other good news, China seems to be caving after a lot of posturing. That's pretty good news.
They're doing some caving, but I think Xi is a very proud man, and the Chinese in general hate to do this, so we'll see. The thing is,
they need our business. They can't hold out for very long.
Is more dependent on us, but we have become so
dependent on China, too.
There's going to be some dislocation, some pain. However, I believe the supply chains will adapt and overcome much more quickly than people can imagine. If China's going to suffer pain level 10, our pain level will be like a 2 or a 3.
But they need to start announcing some of these tariff deals. And although the market did have a good market last week, but it's still volatile, they need to start announcing some of these deals.
They've already started ones. There's India's.
In progress. But I want to hear one all tied up with a bow and announced.
I think that they're signed now.
Oh, there are some signed now? That's news to me.
Yes. And then speaking of that, tariffs and leveling the field for American manufacturing. And this is something that I have been out of step for the Republican Party. As you recall, prior to Trump, the Republican Party stood for the status quo on trade. When you talked about trying to level the playing field with China, they'd say, no, we're for free trade. When Trump did that debate with 17 Republicans up there, the only person that brought up China and the other Republicans looked uncomfortable when Trump brought up China. And at that time, I was not a Trump supporter. I thought, wow, Trump's right on this issue because I've been talking
I've seen him talk about China for years, long before he ever talked about running for president.
Yes. But he brought the Republican Party to what I call a realistic view of trade.
Well, and the thing is, people say, well, we don't like tariffs. Nobody likes tariffs. Tariffs are a problem. But Trump's trying to essentially get rid of the tariffs by saying, if you're going to tariff us, we're going to tariff
you. I see, but
that's
I don't actually, I don't even agree with that statement, Bob. I think tariffs are great. And here's what I could say is that in the late 1900s and early 2000s, 1870s through the 1910s.
Well, you're going to say we didn't need income tax because of the tariffs.
The tariffs. Turned the United States from an agricultural superpower to an industrial superpower. The standard of living shot up through the roof. The greatest growth in our GDP occurred when we had a strict tariff regime in place. And when the Great Depression hit, right, people talk about the tariffs. Well, the tariffs at that time, we only had 3 to 4% of our economy was dependent upon foreign trade. So that is not the problem. And tariffs can be used a couple ways. First of all, they can be used to make sure that you have, from a national security perspective, having a robust, powerful steel industry. Even if they are not cheating on the cost of steel, they could just naturally produce steel lower than we can instead of subsidizing it. We still need to have a steel industry. So
you're saying that to the degree that another country could put us out of business, we should have a tariff.
And I'm saying there's lots of different situations. Like a tariff on coffee makes no sense. Because we don't make coffee in the United States, right? We don't grow it here.
Well, where I do agree is I know there was a time that because of tariffs, we didn't need an Internal Revenue Service. And that I would not mind going back.
So I'm just going to say is that I believe there's a lot of utopianist thinking that the
There's been a lot of unfair tariffs that Trump's just trying to bring down, too.
And
so he's not just trying
two
to
aspects
put a tariff
one
on
is
everything.
That, yes, he could definitely knock
it's
that down.
It's a negotiating tool, but you're seeing some value in them in their own right.
I see
right,
there
saying.
Can be some value in them in their own right. However, there can be bad tariffs. So I'll just say this. I think there can be good tariffs and bad tariffs.
Okay.
I'll leave it
all
at
right.
that.
Just and like there's good sheriffs and bad sheriffs.
Yeah.
There's good tariffs and bad tariffs.
Exactly. And then there's sheriffs who feel tired all over. Okay. So the tariffs bringing back our manufacturing, we have lost our manufacturing. We've been called out and gutted by China mainly when we brought them into the World Trade Organization and gave them most favored nation status. They have lied and cheated, and we've never had anything resembling free trade with China. It's always been one-sided, them subsidizing their industries, them stealing our intellectual property. We funded the buildup of the Chinese military. Not only did we fund the buildup of the military, but we gave them trillions. Now, I'm not exaggerating. $300 billion a year in intellectual property was being stolen from the United States for well over a decade. So trillions of dollars of intellectual property, including technology for F-35 fighter or F-22 fighter, the stealth technology. When you look at Chinese planes, they look like our planes. And they were able to develop it for a tiny fraction of what it cost for us to develop it. So something's got to be done, and there's going to be a little bit of pain. We've got to go through that to get to the other side. And honestly, I think that we could probably, with all the other stuff he's doing to help the economy, this is the time to do it. I think we can come out by the time we hit the midterms looking pretty good on this stuff. He's also basically saying, hey, there was huge tracts of land with trillions of dollars of copper, iron, titanium, rare earth elements, which we need for our military, that have been out of bounds from being able to do development on. He's opening these lands up to do very environmentally friendly development. Now, environmentally friendly development means that you're very careful. You still do disturb the environment, but minimally. Obviously, there's some environmentalists where there's no such thing as environmentally friendly development, but they're going to do it, and it's going to be done in a much more environmentally responsible way than they're going to do in China or India or these other countries that just pump millions of tons of stuff into the atmosphere. You know, not just carbon dioxide, which I, by the way, don't really believe is the cause of global warming, but they pump sulfuric acid, they pump all sorts of things into the atmosphere. So he's doing that right now. So that's happened. They have really gone after the DEI and the quota system for people that fit the DEI criteria. They're rooting it out of the federal government and they're rooting it out of the military. Both places are important. The Federal Aviation Administration, that is not the place. That's a job that not everybody can do being an air traffic controller. I probably could not do that job. I'm a pretty smart guy, but you have to have the ability to multitask and keep things going. So you can't have substandard people there. You can't be filling quotas on that.
No, you're dealing with people's lives. Okay, yeah. Hang with me, Mike. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to one more segment of the Bob Siegel Show with Mike Friedenberg.
So, Bob, since this is our last segment here, with your permission, just kind of blast through the list that I
have. Blast away.
And then we can come back and talk in detail about it when it's going to take us there. So basically, one of the things that we all knew was the truth is that the virus came from the Wuhan labs and that the intelligence agencies knew this. Now it's been released and we knew it was total common sense. It was ridiculous to think it came from anywhere else. And that's been confirmed. That's nice. We won't go into details because this is one of the most covered things that has happened during the Trump administration, the Doge and the revelations there. But that's been fantastic. I mean, that by itself would be enough to justify the presidency, just Doge itself. Then Trump has also been working on returning control of education to state and local. So the money...
It's returning it to California.
The goal is to get the big, gigantic education bureaucracy out of the way and get the monies directly to the states. Then the states give the money to the local school districts. But instead of having all these strings on it, the states will still have to do this. But basically, they're freed up to use it for school choice that they want.
Well, depending on the state, that'll be a good thing. Yes. However, I'm glad the Department of Education is being abolished. Yeah. I am glad.
He pulled this out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Good for him.
Very good. And they are draining the swamp. They are actually letting people go. They're really doing a concerted effort of really seeing our people working. When you have nobody coming into the office, I'm sorry, I work with a lot of people, and some people can work really well from home, but a lot of people can't. I'm convinced that a lot of those federal workers were working another job.
And when we're funding gender transition in mice, I mean, those dollars could maybe be better spent.
And Trump has also changed the job creation dynamic. It's still not exactly where it should be. But under Biden, the only reason he created jobs were created under the Biden administration is he hired massive government spending. The federal money joining the state government allowed them to hire more state workers. The federal workers, it was 3/4 of the jobs under the Biden administration were government jobs and government adjacent jobs. Under Trump, that's been dropped to 54%. Still high, but it's heading in the right direction. Now, this is something that I want to come back to, but the military recruitment has come back. They were suffering horribly during the Biden years.
Oh, it's come back like gangbusters.
But it was actually suffering even under the Trump years, too. It had been a decade-long problem with it, and it started to come back. We can talk about it in more detail there if we have time. For years, we had people, Americans, being held in these awful foreign jails. And Biden did nothing to get them out. Well, Trump has already gotten 47 of them out. Marco Rubio held a press conference.
Right.
Some of the stuff they went in there was stupid stuff, like somebody had medical marijuana, like an ounce of it. They should not have languished in prison for 3 years for that. I mean,
For a day or two.
Yeah, a day or two, right. So Trump cared about it. By the way, he got the astronauts back out of space.
Right.
Biden could have done it any time.
Right.
Musk had said, we're ready to go. We're waiting, ready, willing, and waiting to go to bring these astronauts down. And Biden
didn't want to give a victory to Musk because Musk was working with Trump.
Yeah, it's just grotesque. Then there's the trade deals. Okay, so February, bilateral agreement with India.
And you're saying the India one has now been
boosting
actually signed.
Soybean and poultry exports by 2 billion annually per CMB February 2025. South Korea, a revised chorus agreement increasing auto exports by 26%, with Hyundai committing to a $3 billion U.S. plant expansion, per Reuters, March 2025. Japan has expanded a 2020 trade deal to include digital trade and steel exports, with China reducing tariffs on U.S. steel by 10%, per the White House. So there's a lot of deals here that are done. They cumulatively add up to be a lot. And he's getting these deals done. And the thing is, they may not completely level the playing field in this first cut here, but they significantly helped.
Are you saying that these are tariff deals? Because you're mentioning February and March. I was under the impression that there was good progress on this.
You know, that's
but nothing's been
here.
Carved in
that's
stone
what I'm just,
yet.
I found somebody that listed here. Finalized deals. That's how it lists. It's finalized deals.
And they call them the finalized tariff
finalized
deals.
Finalized deals,
okay, all right.
Singapore, there's a number of nations.
I wasn't aware of anything that had been finalized as far back as February.
But
I know we had good progress going on back then.
However, there still may be tariffs in effect as he's trying to get more. So maybe that's the issue. Then overhauling the federal workforce training. So he's modernizing. What he's trying to do is shift the money. Everybody's got to go to college. He's going away from that mindset, more to a micro mindset that basically says, hey, there's great paying jobs in the trades and the industries, and not everybody's cut out for college. And oh, by the way, who wants to send your kids to get a liberal arts degree in college and pay $40,000 a year and come out in debt, and all you've got done has been indoctrinated, and you can't get a job? So he's shifting the money from just these degrees that we don't need, and I do appreciate a liberal arts degree, but you can do so much online now, to supporting the technical trades, the vocational trades that we are desperately need in this country. That's one of the reasons we can't expand manufacturing. And we've also, by emphasizing college so much, we've sort of denigrated. Oh, you're not going to college? You only want to work in the trade? Which, by the way, I meet so many people in the trades, they're 10 times smarter than people can come out of college. I can just tell you that. I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, especially these days.
Yes. So they are working to shift a lot of that money that was just being wasted for college from federal funding, $700 billion a year. and shift a lot of that money toward the vocational and trades. So that's good. I mean, he's doing that. And then he's been going after the lawfare stuff. And when people were getting involved with illegal stuff, he's saying not only are the government employees involved with the law firms that got involved with this, but these unconstitutional stuff going after him, he's going after the law firms too. So stuff's happening there. I probably have missed half the things, more than half the things that he's done over this period of time.
Well, nobody can keep up with them.
Right.
And I think part of the strategy is that the courts can't even keep up with them with all they're doing.
So I do want to talk a little bit about the military recruitment, because I wrote an article about it before Pete Hegseth was confirmed. And we had seen from 2013 to 2023, we'd seen a 35% reduction in males joining the military. In fact, what had happened is women were still joining at the same rates, but male recruitment had dropped off tremendously. And that's because they had out and out had anti-male rhetoric, anti-male doctrine was being perpetuated in the military. 43% reduction in white males. Well, if you look at that 43% reduction of white males from 2018 to 2023, that is where the deficit came from. And the people that you want to fight wars did not want to go into a place that was dominated by DEI and woke guys. The guys that are the macho guys, the ones that are the good athletes, they don't want to mess around with it. They look and they say, oh, that's not for me. I'm not going to be in a double standard where I have a woman that can't do half of what I could do alongside me in combat, putting me at risk. They didn't want that. So Pete Hegseth is addressing all those concerns.
Well, we're teaching the military once again to shoot and aim rather than learn their pronouns.
Right. And they're bringing back the warrior culture, the warfighting culture. And Hegseth,
I think he's doing a terrific job.
Now, he had to compromise in order to get
his way.
He had to compromise in order to get confirmed. His real viewpoint is women should be in combat, period.
Yeah.
But now he's saying they have the same standards.
He did retweak that a little bit.
He had to do that. But that's
fine. But that's okay putting it that way because he knows that a lot of them won't meet the standards.
Basically, if you put in challenging standards for military service,
it's going to accomplish
more or less
the same thing.
It's going to be about 99.9% of the women will not be able to make it. So that's the same thing.
All right, Mike. Well, yeah, I'm glad it's very important to point out all of the good news, despite the frustrations with the courts. We'll see what happens and have you on again real soon.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.